Hey beautiful people, it is another MedShield Movement Connect show with me, Dr. Fess. Now you know I'm all about being healthy and it is Health Awareness Month. We've brought somebody who is going to tell you how to optimize yourself, but also how to recover. It is a Commonwealth Games winner. It is an Olympian. Can you guess? Yes, Henry Schoeman. Get ready to know what you don't know about being body brilliant. This is the MedShield Movement Connect show, where we connect the dots between fitness, health, wellness, nutrition, and of course you. Hosted by me, Dr. Fez Mkhize, and a special guest that we have every month, sharing knowledge, insights, and groundbreaking tips on how to get fitter, be stronger, and live healthier. Turn up the volume and listen close. Today you amplify. It's the MedShield Movement Connect show. Let's go. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, Henry.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. It's great to chat to you, finally.
Finally? Yeah. It means you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Just take a moment for that. I feel like people always get gassed and I get gassed. And I feel like I wonder if people watch it, but clearly he does. So he knows the very first thing I'm going to ask is, how did you become an Olympian?
Well, that first started with a big dream when I was young. A dream and a big goal to become an Olympian, Olympic medalist, you know, champion of the world. And, you know, it started out when I was young. You know, I was probably, even before I was 10, I was dreaming of, you know, being the best in the world in something in sport. So I fell in love with sport back many years ago. Yeah. And I think that was one of the key factors that kind of got me through all the way to the Olympics. Going through, waking up every day, you know, committed, working as hard as I can, waking up my parents at 5 a.m. to get me to swimming. You know, all of that adds up, and you know, that drive and passion for the sport got me there. And you know, like, there's a lot of things in between. You know, it also takes a village to get you there. Obviously, when you get more into the professional side of the sport, every little thing counts. You know, you need everyone to hold you up as a strong pillar. You need your family to support you, your friends around you to support you, and nevertheless, obviously, the hard work that you need to put in. So all of that, you know, adds up, and eventually I got to the Olympics.
Now, I know that you had started as kind of a long distance swimmer, and then you made that transition into doing all the two other disciplines. What was it that made you go, okay, I love swimming, but I also want to kind of the run and the cycling elements of it? What was that shift?
So, yeah, I started out with a swimming background, and yeah, that was great because I had my brother with me. You know, I was like trying to be as good as him. He was always better than me, so you know, following his footsteps, trying to beat him. Eventually, I did beat him in one or two sessions.
And can I just say, shout out to like the brothers, because I have an older brother. He's also a doctor. I've literally been chasing him and always trying to beat him. And that is a moment that's always it sticks in my mind when I used to beat him.
Gives you a little bit of that. I got you. So yeah, it was good. You know, I found progress. It was good to have that carrot to kind of chase, and you know, following his footsteps, figuring it out. He went to an Olympics before me, two Olympics before me, and you know, it was good to, you know, see that as a brother. You know, see exactly what it takes to get there. And I always wanted to go to the Olympics for swimming alongside him, but you know, like, you can see my nature. I'm a kind of small person, and swimmers are generally bigger builds. And when I got to that stage of about 17, 18 years, I stopped improving the way I should have to be able to, with the trajectory to get to the Olympics in swimming. And I kind of had to make a decision, you know, is swimming going to be for me? And at that same time, I was doing triathlons for fun.
For fun.
Just chill. And I was winning, you know, the national championships and things like that without any specific training. And that kind of just like triggered my mindset and just shifted completely to triathlon.
And I know you were winning, was it at age 19, you're kind of winning consecutive the triathlon events, and that's where you decided that's the track you wanted to go down. But it's a difficult one, because that one, it's not just one discipline, it's three. You have to make sure that you're optimized in those. What was the shift in mindset when it came from swimming to adding those two?
So like you say, it is quite a big shift in terms of balancing three different disciplines. You're also coming from swimming, which is you swimming 400 meters, 800 meters, 1500 meters at most. Now you're competing for up to 2 hours.
Mm.
So it's a big shift in endurance as well. So it's a lot to take on. You know, the first few years were a lot of downs, more downs than ups, I would say. Getting into running from swimming was a big task for me. You know, I had like the weak joints, the swimmer's floppy feet, and running was just not ideal for that. I had the Ferrari engine, but I didn't have the wheels for it.
Sure.
So everything kind of fell off. Mm. And I got the shin splints, I got stress fractures.
Yeah.
I had to deal with all of that for probably about 2-3 years before I started seeing progress.
Sure.
And then I started getting on the rise and going up.
So it almost feels like you're saying you had that dip, shin splints, all those stress fractures for people at home when you do long distance, especially with running, that continuous kind of motion, and your body might not be prepared for it. And especially when you're doing it over long periods of time, you do get those fractures, smaller fractures, but very painful.
Oof.
And then you have that incline that then happened. What were you doing at that dip phase? How were you recovering and trying to mitigate all of these issues?
Initially, my biggest mistake was I didn't have the knowledge of what this pain was. I thought it was just getting used to running.
Sure.
So I was kind of just getting, like, I could barely walk. I mean, I was just that like bad. That committed and trying to just grind through it. And I didn't have that knowledge.
Mm.
And then eventually I started seeing some doctors and checking it out. And we did some scans, and the scans showed that I had stress fractures. Like my shins were just lighting up on bone scans. Jeez. So it was pretty bad. And then we took a step back. We started looking at strength. We did the small little things, work from the feet up.
Mm.
And ever since I started working on that strength, things really like started just taking off with the running. I could eventually get like maybe 2 steps forward, 1 step back.
Wow.
And eventually we got the momentum going, and running became a little bit more comfortable. And so it just got better.
Can I ask, in terms of, because recovery is an interesting concept, right? Everybody always thinks about like an optimized athlete. I'm always going, going, going. But part of optimization is understanding when to take a bit of a step back, reassess, and then adjust accordingly. What are some of the recovery measures you had used in the past then, and then what you're also using today to try make sure that you have enough capacity to then be optimal when you are actually performing?
Yeah, recovery and rest is a key part in being an athlete, especially at the top level of sport. You know, like you say, you can't just keep going. We're not robots.
Yeah.
You've got to have an on switch and you've got to have an off switch. So when you're on, you're on.
Yeah.
But when you're off, you've got to be off. Yeah. You know, and rest and recovery, there is a misconception about it, because, I mean, it generally is putting your legs up,
mm-hmm.
chilling on the couch, laying on the bed, watching Netflix,
the kids, series, family, yeah.
But it's not just that. You know, it's also about, you know, having your ice bathing or regular massaging, checking up with your physios, your chiros, just maintaining your body in a good, healthy state.
Sure.
Then you're also getting, are you taking the right foods, diets, nutrition, proteins? You know, all of that adds up, and all of that adds up into being a well-rested, good, recovered athlete, so that you are able to give everything again when you go and train or when you're going to race.
Definitely. And I always tell people, and especially with high performance athletes, it's the physical component, rest, recover there, but also mentally, right?
Yeah.
Where you need to calibrate appropriately. And especially in your discipline, one would almost imagine mental fortitude is what pushes you through some of those barriers. And I know you're expecting a little one soon.
Yeah.
Where does family come into the space? Because it does seem like it would almost be all the time that you're either recovering or doing something active. And you're somebody who seems to be quite a family man.
Yeah, I am. You know, I enjoy my family. I've got a 2-year-old daughter that I absolutely love to bits.
Yeah.
I've got an amazing wife who does manage her mostly. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, like it's hard to deal with that all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But there are moments where it comes into, you know, what kind of rest or recovery do I need? And sometimes active rest is what I need. And that can also be walking on the promenade with my wife and daughter, going to the park, playing with them, you know. So it all depends what kind of rest you need. And when I get those opportunities, I take them up and I really make the most of it. It might be once a week, but at least it's once a week that I get to have the most amazing fun with my family.
Yeah.
And yeah, like with the second one on the way, Yeah,
it's congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
High performance.
Really looking forward to seeing how the challenge of balancing another one, because now we're going to kind of be one-to-one with ratio with the children.
I love that it's a one-to-one ratio.
One-to-one.
Sounds very much like an athlete. You get those ratios.
Because right now it's 2-to-1, so we can like kind of juggle that. Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, I think it will be a little bit more difficult, and just juggling that will be, I think you just got to prioritize your time and planning. I think that's the most, be effective with that. And I think that will be the biggest challenge for me. Not that I'm complaining, but it's just, you know, I need to still get the most out of my sport, because that's obviously what I do for a living and I love it to bits, but also make sure that I'm there for the family as well and for their well-being.
I mean, I love that you're already preempting potential challenges, and that just shows what kind of a person you are. You can see into the future and map out. I mean, speaking about preempting anything that could potentially go wrong, I know that you are a MedShield ambassador. You are very much in the MediSwift plan, which is, of course, talking about recovery and making sure that you're resting appropriately. How has that helped you in terms of the stuff that you put out and you talk to people and just the mindset that you have as an ambassador?
Yeah, so I mean, it's first of all, it's amazing to be part of the MedShield family and be an ambassador, because I'm all about healthy living and, you know, maintaining a healthy lifestyle. I'm very lucky that as a sports person, I tick a lot of those boxes, being a healthy person. Sure. But to be an athlete and to continue, you know, staying on a level that I want to be, I need to look after my body. Sure. And to be backed by MedShield and a medical aid company is having that peace of mind that I can just carry on and do what I do. And, you know, coming back to being an athlete, like, you have to maintain your body. Mm. So if you're seeing those physios, if you're seeing your chiro, like, you need that kind of stuff to just maintain your body, keep it at optimal level so that you can carry on being active and live your healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can tell that you're somebody who's mindful of all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny sitting with you and just how affable you are, how engaging you are, and then seeing you perform, you can see that it's almost like there's that switch. You talk about that on-off switch. Yeah. It does. You can clearly see when you are competing, you're honed in. Speaking of, right, there is the incident where you were running with the Brownlee brothers, and there was the incident where they were helping each other out and you ran past. And people sometimes refer back to that video, and one can see when you were running, you were very much honed in. I don't know what your mindset or what you could see in that moment, because I've competed and I know usually you're moving on that one track mind. Did you see them when they were there? Did you see Alistair helping out? What was going on in your head in that space at that time?
When I was, so in the distance, I could see Jonathan, who was going to win the race.
Yeah.
I could see he was struggling. He was a little bit like all over the road. Mm. And, you know, in that time, I was like, okay, I need to push harder, because that's an opportunity for me.
Of course.
The world championship is on the line 1K ahead.
Of course.
So I was just like going for it. You know, I'm a youngster still back then. And I just came fresh off the Olympics, winning a bronze medal. Yeah. And everyone still doubted me at that time. Maybe it's a once off, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was one month later. And I had a lot of critics that were still saying, oh, he'll never really get that kind of position again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got my own motivation to get to that line first and beat the Brownlees who beat me at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I'm like going like a savage dog to try and win this race. And when I see an opportunity, I see it. And I passed Jonathan and I realized, okay, he obviously miscalculated his nutrition and he's passing out.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing I can do about that. I'm going to the finish line.
Exactly.
There's guys that are like 10, 20 seconds behind us that could pass us if I decide to help him. But he's not my brother. He's not from my country.
Sure,
he's
sure.
Every man for himself.
Yeah.
And we've actually spoken immediately after that race that I did the right thing. Yeah. I mean, no one else helps anyone else. If you're in a 100-meter race and someone pulls their hamstring, no one's stopping the race to help them over the line.
That's why it's, and I tell people this all the time. I've had people coming in. I've seen athletes before. We have all sorts of treatments that are there. And when you're training, part of it is calibrating how your body moves, how much nutrition, how much stretching, all of that comes into play. And unfortunately, on any given day, anything can happen. And that's why you try to plan as best as you can.
Yeah.
And honestly, what you say is probably what most people would say when it comes to events like that. Not just that, but any sort of sport. And I love the fact that you did touch base with them and they also understand exactly what that situation yeah. was. And I mean, look at you, as calm as you are, honestly, it's so funny because his energy, he radiates calm, just easygoing. But I'm pretty sure if I put some shoes on and we raced, he probably wouldn't let me win, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Once we get onto the racing track, it's there's no friends.
This is why you put the country on your back. Yeah, it's yeah. really beautiful. But if I do have aspirations of maybe beating you one day, could you give me just four quick tips? Actually, let's make it five. Let's make it a nice number. Four quick tips. As Health Awareness Month is here, if I wanted to try optimize myself, so I'm going to have longevity in terms of being able to do whatever physical sport activity that I do over as long a period of time as I can, 5 points, quick and fast before we end.
Quick and fast. Okay, so we're looking at, you know, if you're active, mm-hmm. keep movement going. Okay. That's going to be great for your body.
Cool. Movement.
Routine, consistency.
Consistency.
That's a great one. You don't have to think about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Diet. If you have a good diet, you're going to be
energized. I feel like everybody always fights me when it comes to nutrition and diet, but very true, nutrition and diet.
It is.
Yeah.
Have some good friends. Keep your laugh up.
Oh, so
keep the laughter on your face. Yeah, keeps okay. you happy.
Last one?
I would say family. Families. You can't go past family.
Says the soon-to-be dad of two. But when it comes to, just before we end, because I want to steal this from you nutrition-wise, are you incredibly pedantic about what you eat when you eat it, or are you more loose and free and just make sure that you roughly hit your caloric target?
So I go on feel. I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And there are some base kind of nutrition things that I try and get to. Yeah. So I always focus on proteins, carbohydrates, amino acids, and some fats. Those are like my core things that mm-hmm. I make sure that I get in, day out.
Okay.
Depending on race week or training week, it can vary with red meats or chicken or fish.
Mm-hmm.
But carbohydrates, proteins, good for recovery, building that muscle, replenishing the muscles as well.
I love that you put in carbs there because people tend to run away from them.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's actually essential. Yeah. You've got to put it in.
Yeah.
And then obviously your fruits and minor things that you can snack on. Keep the brain and everything else healthy. Mm-hmm. You can't neglect those. And I think it's like fuel. And I don't overindulge. I eat until I feel like I'm comfortable.
Okay.
I'm not like putting out the scale and weighing everything.
Listen, I have cheesecake all the time, which I don't add to my overall caloric intake. So I am very fluid when it comes to nutrition
good.
As well.
It's good. You know, my wife loves baking cheesecakes. So I also have my cheesecake from time to time.
Sounds like I'm gonna have to ask you to bake me one of those, because if you look at you look like you're a physical specimen. Yeah. Maybe hers is a bit healthier than the ones I buy. Huh?
It tastes good.
That's all I need. It's literally all I need.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for sitting down with us. There is a guest who is looking forward to sitting and speaking with me. How was that? Was it pretty?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was it was good. Bucket list.
I mean, Olympians are wanting to figure out how to connect the dots. I'm sure you have gotten a wealth of knowledge from Henry, but also enjoyed this episode as I have. It's another incredible MedShield Movement Connect show episode with me, Dr. Fez. Make sure that you're aware of your health. It's the month for it. We'll see you on the next one. MedShield Medical Scheme offers a menu of benefit plans that are tailored to cover your medical needs as you navigate through life. Go to www.medshield.co.za to get a quote.